vast number of young Americans have not only not been taught how lucky they are to be Americans, but have been taught either how unlucky they are or how ashamed they should be. And because ungrateful people always become unhappy and angry people. And it breaks my heart for America, because no good country can survive when its people have contempt for it.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, that's very sweet of you. Now, I want to talk to you about 10 subjects, very briefly, but every one of them is exceedingly important. I want to address the issues that need to be addressed and you need to know answers to. Let's begin with white privilege. Okay? The answer to this lie about white privilege is, number one, if there is white privilege, there's even greater Asian privilege, because Asians do better than whites do in the United States of America. But I need to, here is the answer to this gigantic idiocy of white privilege. I'll give you two other privileges that are infinitely more significant than the color of your skin. One is two-parent privilege. That's a huge privilege. Not every one of you has had that privilege, and you have turned out wonderfully. It is not a guarantee if you have two parents that you'll be wonderful. It is not a guarantee that if you have one parent, you won't turn out wonderful. But in the broad perspective of life, to have a mother and father is the ideal. And vast numbers of young Americans don't have both, especially don't have a father. And the data on not having a father in one's life, I'm not talking about if your father died of cancer or in a war. You had a father. I'm talking about those who didn't have a father, who began without a father because the father abandoned the mother that he impregnated. That is a big disadvantage. So believe me, it is better to be a non-white with a mother and father in your life than to be a white who never had a father in his life. Okay, that's just a fact. Number two, another privilege called American privilege. You are among the luckiest people on earth to be Americans. Do you know what the left teaches? One of the reasons I loathe the left, and I always draw a distinction between leftists and liberals, liberalism has nothing in common with leftism. The tragedy is liberals vote for their enemy, the left. Leftism is the enemy of liberalism. I have a whole video at PragerU and a whole article on the internet on the differences between leftism and liberalism. Give it to all your liberal relatives and show them we conservatives are their allies. We conservatives are protecting liberal values. The left loathes liberal values and always had. And always has. America privilege, and one of the reasons, as I said, I loathe the left is they have the ugliest of human traits. And do you know what I think the ugliest of human traits is? Ingratitude. You knew? Good. Man in that row with that hat knew what I was going to say. It's comforting for me to know that it's not the first time some of you are hearing this. But in any event, ingratitude is the ugliest of the human traits, and gratitude is the most beautiful. Gratitude is the mother of both happiness and goodness. You cannot be happy and you cannot be good if you are not grateful. And the left thrives, is rooted in ingratitude. And the ungrateful are unhappy. I will come to happiness in a moment. And they want others to be equally ungrateful. It is the luckiest luck of the draw that I was born American. It is pure, undeserved luck on my part that I was born an American citizen. That is why most of the world wants to come here. That is why in the last 20 years alone, 3 million blacks, 2 million from Africa, 1 million from the Caribbean have come to America. Why would they come to a systemically racist country? Are they stupid? Ask your left-wing friends, why have millions of blacks from Africa come here voluntarily? 340,000 came on those despicable, horrible torture chambers known as slave ships. But tens of millions have come voluntarily. How many of you learned that at college? Answer, probably close to zero. That's a pretty salient point, isn't it? That vastly greater numbers of blacks have come to the United States willingly than came here unwillingly. Why do they come here? Because they know what you know. That's the greatest privilege of all, is to be an American citizen. You want liberty, you want opportunity, you want to be treated like another person, you come to America. So let me get to number two, racism. The United States is the least racist, multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-religious, multi-racial country in the history of the world. The United States is racist in the eyes of those who compare it to utopia, not in the eyes of those who compare it to other nations. You are blessed to be an American if you are black, white, brown, yellow, or red. You are damn lucky to be an American, whatever your color. Number two, race doesn't mean a damn thing. It means nothing. There is no racism outside of the Ku Klux Klan that matches the racism of the left. The left wants all black dormitories on college campuses. So does the Ku Klux Klan. Liberals do not want all black dorms, and conservatives don't want all black dorms. The KKK and the left are the only groups that want all black dormitories. I was raised a liberal. New York, Jew, Columbia, I have all the credentials of a liberal. And when I was raised, and it wasn't too long ago, racial integration, colorblind, were the ideals of a non-racist society. Now, to be colorblind is to be called racist. You live in a sick world. Only the sick can claim that colorblind is racist. It's the same people who tell me that men menstruate. It is. It is the exact same people. We are living, and I will come to this too, in a chaotic world. The United States is not a racist society. It has racists in it. I am a Jew. I know. I have written books on anti-Semitism and Jewish history. I taught Jewish history at Brooklyn College. I know the subject real well. There are anti-Semites in America, but here's the fact. America is the greatest country Jews have ever lived in outside of the Jewish state in the history of the Jewish people. My father, may he rest in peace, was in the U.S. Navy in World War II. And my father, an Orthodox Jew, president of an Orthodox Jewish synagogue, deeply committed to Judaism, deeply committed to Jewish life. And he wrote his senior class thesis at City College of New York on anti-Semitism in America, how Jews were not allowed into most country clubs. Jews were not allowed into the most elite law firms. That there was a quota at Harvard on admitting Jews. And still he raised my brother and myself to believe the truth. We were the luckiest Jews in Jewish history to be American Jews. You are the luckiest anything to be an American. You're the luckiest black, you're the luckiest Hispanic, you are the luckiest Asian, you are the luckiest WASP, you are the luckiest anything, you're the luckiest gay. To be an American is just damn good luck. Number three, I feel for your generation, and generally speaking, I don't feel sorry for people, except people, you know, been hit by a drunk driver or get cancer. Obviously, I feel for some people, but There is an area where, and I say this regularly, your generation has been told by the left something unbelievable. Your past is awful and your future is awful. Think about it. You are told by the left, by your corrupt professor, which is almost redundant. Not all professors are morally or intellectually corrupt, but most are. It is a tragedy. I am not happy about it, but it is the truth. You are told by the media, you are told in academia, your past stinks and your future stinks. Your past is an American, it's awful. It was founded, according to the great lie of the New York Times, in 1619. America had its revolution against Britain in order to preserve slavery. It's just a grandiose lie. And you know who called it a lie? The leading liberal historians in the United States. Anti-Trump liberal historian said the New York Times 1619 narrative is a lie. It is a lie, and it is being taught in thousands of high schools beginning this year. Your past is terrible, and your future is even worse. An existential threat to humanity because of climate change. You will not survive your adulthood. The only good thing about that lie, and I'll tell you why it's a lie in a moment, I don't deny the world is getting warmer. It just doesn't keep me up at night. And by the way, there is a solution. It's called nuclear power. So there, anyone who says that there is an existential threat to humanity, and it is based on carbon emissions, on climate change, but does not advocate nuclear power, is a fraud. By definition, they are a fraud. Just ask them one question. Do you believe that we have 12 years to survive? Oh, of course. Why aren't you advocating nuclear power? It is completely clean. It shows you they believe in hysteria, not in science. Okay? Anyone who says the world is coming to an end and pushes nuclear power, more power to them. I'm happy with nuclear power. Sweden gets about half of its energy. France gets about half of its energy from nuclear power. It is safe. It is clean. What they want to do is change and transform free economies into government-controlled economies. That is what the Green New Deal is about. That is what the hysteria is about. I'm telling you, it's an unbelievable message. No wonder so many, they say that more of your generation is depressed than at any time in American history. I don't know if it's true, but I wouldn't be surprised. I was not taught that my past was awful, and I wasn't taught that I will die in 12 years. I was taught that the American past is, with of course terrible exceptions, a glorious past, and that the future is in our hands to smile upon us and for us to smile upon that future. I, in effect, grew up in a different world than you are growing up. And I feel for you about that. Superman was a big deal when I was a kid. Truth, justice, and the American way. That's what he represented. And do you know what Superman did about 15 years ago in the Superman comic? Stood in front of the United Nations and renounced his American citizenship. Superman was founded by liberals, and then the left took over. Liberals loved America. The left loathes America. You must understand that. That is almost everything you need to understand. The world left loathes America. You need to understand another thing about the left. Everything the left has ever touched, it has destroyed. There is no exception. The universities, the high schools, the elementary schools, the NFL, the NBA, late night comedy, art, music, religion, anything the left touches, it destroys. Liberals build, conservatives build, the left destroys. That's what you must understand. It is a tsunami of destruction, the left. What it has done to journalism. When I grew up, people did believe that the motto on the New York Times was true. All the news that's fit to print. Everybody today knows that the New York Times is simply a left-wing propaganda paper. That is all it is. Everyone knows that except the left. But the left knows it. That's why they subscribe. They want all of their views reinforced every day. Tell me what in journalism the left has not destroyed, what college it has not destroyed. You name the arena. This is what you need to know. Conservatives build, liberals build. I am into classical music. I conduct orchestras as an avocation. You know what they're doing to, you know what they're doing to music now? This is the 250th anniversary of Beethoven's birth. And they're all they're announcing the orchestras is we can't keep playing Beethoven. He's a white European male. Do you know who loves Beethoven the most? You know what ethnic group? Asians. That's the irony. You go to Japan and you will see all over Japan playing Bach and Beethoven. They don't love Bach or Beethoven because they're white or male. They love them because they wrote the greatest music in the history of the world. That is all that matters. But the left doesn't love greatness. Back to the notion of, does race matter? This notion that race matters, is that incredible? If I know you are a person with black skin, tell me one thing I know about you. Answer, nothing. I don't know your heart. I don't know your mind. I don't know your soul. I don't know your character. I don't know your personality. I don't know your loves. I know nothing about you when I know your color. It is pure racism to say that color is important. Pure, 100%. What do I know about you if you're white? Mother Teresa was white and Adolf Hitler was white. So what do I know about you if you're white? Nothing. If you're white, when you look in the mirror, do you go, how you doing, whitey? How you doing today? I know you, I see you're white today. Think blacks look in the mirror and go, whoa, a black, that's awesome. I didn't. It's the greatest thing I ever saw. When a black named Charles looks in the mirror, that person sees Charles, not black. When a white named Charles looks in a mirror, he sees Charles, not white. Only the left sees the white or the black. The New York Times sees that. CNN sees it. Harvard sees it. Every one of your universities sees it, unless it's a very rare university. It is despicable what they have done by making color important. It is the purest form of racism. Just recall that. You never have to defend yourself against the charge of racism. They must defend themselves. The color of your skin is no more important than the color of your hair. In fact, the color of your hair might be more important. People, after all, dye their hair, so they must think that there must be some reason to have hair color. Skin color means nothing. And the only people saying skin color means nothing today are conservatives. Isn't that ironic? For that alone, you should be proud to call yourself a conservative. If nothing else, that alone, we stand by the belief that a person's goodness, kindness, character, intelligence, personality is infinitely more important than their color. That's a conservative principle. I have studied the left since I was at graduate school at Columbia. I was at the School of International Affairs, and my major, which is very rare, it is almost like a godsend to me that I majored in it. I majored in what was called Communist Affairs. I was at the Russian Institute at Columbia University. I studied Russian. I read Pravda, the Soviet newspaper, every day. That's the reason I learned Russian, was to read the enemy. I wanted to understand the enemy. I still can't read Dostoevsky, but I can read Pravda. And so I've been studying the left all of my life. And it's very complex, the left. If I were to say, for example, if I were to say to a Christian, so give me a book to read so I'll know what Christianity is. They'd say, here, take the Bible. If I'd say to a Jew, tell me, I want to know what Judaism stands for. They'd say, the Bible and the Talmud. Okay, two books. If I would say to any group, they would give me a book. Say to a leftist, how will I know what the left stands for? Give me a book. They won't have a name. So it took me, Communist Manifesto, no one has read. The Communist Manifesto is for those who have profound insomnia, and it has no other purpose. So, anyway, Das Kapital is particular because it's much longer. Anyway, what do you stand for? It took me a lifetime. I would say within the last 10 years, after studying the left my whole life, I finally came to an answer. The left stands for chaos. And what did it for me was men menstruate, men give birth. How does a mind seriously make that statement? Seriously, how do you say that? And the answer is, it stands for chaos. Capitalism is bad, socialism is good. Tell me, other than capitalism, what has lifted billions of humans from poverty? The answer is nothing. The people who are anti-capitalism are a combination of ignorant and callous. They have no interest in raising the poor. They have interest in removing liberty. The poor of the world have been lifted for the first time in history out of abject poverty in the billions solely because of capitalism. It is a gift to humanity, capitalism. Are capitalists selfish? Who isn't selfish? What do I care? This notion of you judge people by their motive and not by what they achieve is a classic child mode. This is what children think. Oh, she had a selfish motive. It must be bad. I always give the example of somebody who gives millions of dollars to a hospital to create an eye surgery ward, okay? And then somebody comes along and says, the only reason O'Connor gave that $100 million to that hospital was to have his name on the building. To which I say, so what? So bloody what? You know how many people will now have eyesight because of O'Connor's selfishness? Let God judge motives. We judge behavior. It is so immature to judge motives. It is so immature. Capitalists, they want to make a profit. So what? So what? Do they do good? That's all that matters. I don't care why they want to do it. Who has pure motives? I don't even know if pure motives exist on the planet of Earth. I don't know. You have to go to psychoanalysis, not merely psychiatry, psychoanalysis for many years to figure out some of your motives. I don't care what your motives are. I only care what your behavior is. That's all that matters in this world, is your behavior. This is profoundly anti-left ideas, what I just said. Oh, you're racist if you're white. Yeah, but what if you treat people of every race beautifully? Doesn't matter. Of course it matters. In fact, that's all that matters, is how you treat people. Do you know, I have studied non-Jews who rescued Jews in the Holocaust because I think goodness is a bigger puzzle than evil. So I've studied goodness more than evil in my life. Do you know that there were anti-Semites who saved Jews? There were. It's unbelievable. Not all of them, obviously, but some of those who risked their lives, and they said, I don't like Jews, but I'm not going to allow them to be exterminated. So do I care if that person didn't like Jews? He saved my relative's life, and I care how he feels about them. I'm okay if you don't like me. I'm not okay if you exterminate me. That's it. That's the way it works. It's a world of chaos. Everything is chaos. Everything the left says is backwards. Men give birth. Race matters. Build all black dormitories. Colorblind is racist. Israel is the villain in the Middle East. Send Iran billions of dollars. I mean, it's backwards. It is a morally defective world, the world of the left. But it's very appealing. That's the problem. And here is a point that you must understand. This is another thing that came to me relatively later in life. Liberty is a value, not a human instinct. Everyone or many people say people yearn to be free. That is not true. I wish it were. People yearn to be taken care of. That is why the left wins elections all over the world. The left doesn't promise you liberty because it never gives you liberty. Everywhere the left takes over, from the university to countries, liberty is suppressed. I will come to that in a moment. People don't vote for the left for liberty. They vote for the left because they promise to take care of them. The American experiment in liberty was based on the following. I take care of me. I take care of my family. I take care of my community. The left says, we will take care of you. We will take care of your family. We will take care of your community. Which will you vote for? Americans voted for the former, but they have changed. After 50 years of left-wing indoctrination, they now believe the latter is a more noble way to have a society. That is why I have proof. Europeans give much less charity and volunteer much less time than Americans of the exact same socioeconomic status. And do you know why? Europeans are told, you do not have to take care of your neighbor. The government will. And that's what they believe. And they believe that that's moral. That's the irony. Do you know how many institutions America began with? Read de Tocqueville. And how much I saw as, when I was your age, the Rotary Club, the Kiwanis Club, the local church, the number of associations taking the Catholic Church, taking care of people. Because the thing with my grandparents on my father's side were very, very poor. From the Depression on, he had no work. My father supported them. They never went to the government for a penny. Because in Jewish life at that time, it was considered a shanda, is the Yiddish word for embarrassment, shame, to go to the non-Jewish government to ask for money. If Jews couldn't take care of their own, shame on the Jews. That was the belief. You don't go to the government. And then gradually Jews, leaving Judaism, adopted leftism. And so they think it's beautiful to send others to the government. Ah, the government will take care of you. And so there's less liberty, much less liberty. People don't yearn to be free. Freedom comes with responsibility. Freedom comes with accountability. This is what America was based on. That is why we have a Liberty Bell. We don't have a take care of, the government will take care of you bell. We have a Liberty Bell. Liberty is the bell of America, but it's lost. And finally, the biggest liberty of all, the biggest liberty of all is freedom of speech. And this is, for the first time in American history, Civil War, Revolutionary War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, it has never been threatened like it is today. Doctors, MDs appeared in Washington to say hydroxychloroquine might help people in the early stages of COVID. Twitter took them down. I thought we're supposed to follow the science. That is a big, gigantic left-wing lie. They don't follow the science. They follow the scientists they agree with. There's a big difference between that and follow the science. I believe 100,000 Americans are dead because they didn't get hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin and zinc in the early stages of their disease. For the record, I put my pills where my mouth is. I have been on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin for quite some time, and I am a happy-go-lucky guy hugging strangers for the last 6 months. And now we're told, by the way, the left has completely corrupted the medical profession. The New England Journal of Medicine in the latest issue just announced that it is wrong to put sex or gender on a birth certificate. New England Journal of Medicine. The left has ruined the sciences. Ruined. I don't trust anything that comes from that world. Nothing. The New England Journal of Medicine has the same status to me as the New York Times. It's a propaganda sheet. These are the scientists who told us that, oh, social distancing, except if you're demonstrating for Black Lives Matter, then it's a health benefit. They're a fraud. The latest is, even if you're vaccinated, wear a mask. Let me tell you something about the mask. I have nothing scientific to say about it. I don't know if it works. I don't know if it doesn't work. I'm completely agnostic. I will tell you this. The latest is, it shows it is not science. Even if you get vaccinated, you should still wear a mask. Did you read that? That is the latest from our health authorities. So just let me tell you something. Society pays a very big price when you can't see people's faces. It's a huge price. I have said all of my life, I have said, the Muslim veil is utterly dehumanizing. It dehumanizes the female in the Muslim world. What is the difference between a Muslim veil and a mask? There is none. There is none. You are not human when I look at you in a mask. You may have to wear it, but let us not deny a price has been paid, a very big one. Ask people who work in retail whether people are as nice with masks as they were when they didn't wear a mask. There is no comparison, because when you're anonymous, you can be an asshole. So you got a big fight. I have 1 minute and 13 seconds left, and you have a big fight for the rest of your life. I have more than a minute and 13 seconds to live, but I'm in terms of this. It's like whenever they ask me when I get my credit card expiration date, I go, me or the card? It's just, it's like I tell them, Prager, P is in pneumonia. I just try to lighten life whenever I can. My dear friends, there is a civil war in the United States. I've been saying this for a quarter of a century. I pray it doesn't get violent, and I continue to pray it doesn't get violent. But there is a civil war, and it is a bigger civil war than the one in which so many Americans died. Outside of slavery, most Northerners and most Southerners had similar values. That's a very big difference, don't get me wrong. But otherwise, generally speaking, they did. But there are no commonalities between left and right. We share nothing with the left, nothing. The more you understand how destructive the left is, the more you understand this is the battle of your lifetime. Your grandparents had World War II or the Vietnam War. You have this war. I have this war. I will end with this. When I walk through airports, or when I did prior to the lockdowns, always people would come over and say hello, pose for a selfie, tell me to say hello to Otto. It's my bulldog in my fireside chats. And very common, more and more, people would come over at an airport and say, Dennis, and they'd look around and they'd say, just want you to know I'm a conservative, or I support the president. I just want you to know, and I'm sorry to end on such a serious note, the last time I experienced that was in the Soviet Union. I speak Russian, and people would come over, and they'd look around, and they'd say, I see you're an American or a Westerner. We hate communism. And then they would continue to walk. That Americans have to whisper that they support a president or are conservative, that's not a good sign. So you have to fight. It's worth it. Thank you.